Parana ki jai. We're discussing Ras Lila on chapter 30, text number 8. We're finishing with the commentary by Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'll read the verse in translation. Malat yadarshi hua kachin malike jati yutike pritim vo janayan yataha kar. Karasparshena Madhava. The gopis are approaching the flowers. They've approached Tulsi, and she was silent, so now they're approaching different beautiful, fragrant flowers. O Malita, O Malati, O Malika, O Jati, O Yutika, has Madhav gone by here giving you pleasure with a touch of his hand, Karasparshena Madhava? So Vishnu Chakravarti, in this verse, he gives a commentary. After speaking to Tulsi and asking Tulsi if she knows where Krishna has gone, and she was, of course, silent because generally we haven't heard any time that Tulsi is speaking to anyone, the plant, the Tulsi plant. So the Rajagopis say, according to Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on chapter 30, verse 8, oh, this Tulsi is intoxicated due to the pride of her good fortune, Kalyan, which is yesterday's verse, verse 7. So she will not even look at us. Therefore, let us ask these fragrant jasmine malati flowers, who, like us, do not have such good fortune. Saying this, the gopis run away from Tulsi, and then they speak this verse. Oh, Malati, Malika, Jati, Yutika. Because Krishna has touched you while picking your flowers, you are now blooming fully in the rainy season and autumn seasons. So the gopis are noticing some speciality or vishesh gun, special quality in these flowering plants, because now it's Ras Lila time, which is right now time. The last Purnima, a few days ago. This was the full moon night of the Rasa dance that's depicted in this Ras Lila, 10th canto, chapter 29 through 33. So we're in the middle of the discussion, and this is exactly the same season. In India, this is called the autumn season. Spring and summer and fall, autumn and winter. And here we have six seasons, so summer has two parts and winter has two parts. Summer has dry hot and then wet hot, and winter has dry cold and wet cold. So it makes six. And they're not anywhere else in the world. So it's autumn time, and they're saying that the Bela or Moga are blossoming now, and they actually blossom in the springtime. But because they're seeing some obvious change, so it's called, you can trace out, you can try to understand the cause by seeing the effect. If you look out the window and see the flagpole and the flag is moving on the, is waving on the flagpole, then that's the effect of the cause, which is the wind. Oh, you see the flag blowing and you say, the flag moving, and you say the wind is blowing. In the same way, the gopis are perceiving that these Mogra Malatis are blossoming in the Rasa right now, during Rasa time, autumn, right now. And we have a garden full of these flowers, and their season is already gone. They've already blossomed. So they're saying, why is this? Kara Sparshena Madhav. Because Madhav, surely, O flowers, you're blossoming. You're blossoming with happiness. Because when we're touched by the one we love, then our heart swells with joy. Swells means expands. So similarly, because they're projecting their human feelings to anything and everyone, and to flowers and trees, and you'll see in the future verses, even the earth. Oh, earth, oh, fire, oh, air, oh, sky. Anything in their perception or in their reality or in their worldview, they're asking for some indication or clue as to where Krishna has gone. This is the madness that they're experiencing. So Vishnath goes on, a small tika, mentions that the gopis are saying this that you're blossoming because of the touch of Krishna, not because of the touch of the season. There's Mosam Sparsha. The flowers are always there 12 months a year, and they're dormant. In the winter, they're sleeping. And when they're time to perform, or they're time to offer and do seva to Krishna appears, then they start blossoming. So there are fall flowers and spring flowers and summer flowers. So we have a variety of flowers here that are blossoming at different times. The mogras, most of the mogras have stopped, but the jasmine sambach, many varieties of jasmine, jasmine they say in Latin. So we have one that's just now blossoming, and it's save the best for last, as I never saw before. Someone brought from somewhere. And it's fantastic, really fragrant, and white, of course. So that's pretty much what he says. And then the BBT, our God brothers, they've commented on this nice point they made. When even Tulsi herself doesn't answer the gopis, then they approach the fragrant jasmine flowers, Bela, Jutika, Malati. Because they see all these jasmine flowers, because Tulsi's standing straight, you can see. She's standing straight, all directions her branches go out. And they're saying, oh, she's proud. She's standing, oh, see, I'm... They say the proud person, he walks like this or so. Something like that, you know. Certain way they hold their... No. So they're seeing that in Tulsi. Oh, she doesn't want to tell us where Krishna is because she's wrapped her leaves and flowers around his neck and she's lying on his chest and caressing his toes with her hands of her leaves. And she's also quiet because if she's quiet, she doesn't reveal her whereabouts or where she is because if Tulsi tells, actually, I'm here in one expansion in front of you receiving your inquiry, but in my leaves and flowers, I'm now embracing Krishna there in such kunj. So we heard yesterday the Vishnath was saying the gopis are, the Tulsi Devi is protecting her position. Like someone might be sharing the same lover and meet in the marketplace and say, oh, have you seen so-and-so? No, I think they're home. Just like Padma and Shaibya. Padma and Shaibya are the anti-party, Vipaksha Sakis, the rivals of Radharani. And sometimes they're moving near Radhakund and they say, oh, and then Brinda Devi sees them. Says, oh, Padma. Hi, Padma. How are you? Kind of modern type. Hi, Padma. How are you? Oh, fine, Tulsi. Tulsi Mandri and Brinda Devi. So nice to see you. Oh, yeah. Where is your Ishwari? Oh, why do you want to know? Oh, we want to invite her to our Ambika festival today. Because Chandravali, Ambika is a form of Durga. And Chandravali is a worshiper of Durga. We want to invite Chandravali's sister, Radharani, to the Ambika festival. So we came to give the Nirmantran, the invitation. Oh, Tulsi said, that's very kind of you. Actually, Radharani is not here. She didn't come to Radhakund today. She's still in Yavat. So maybe you should go there and give your invitation. So they run off to Yavat. And then Krishna is standing there when this all happens. Then Krishna, Vinishta, gives the message, and Brinda Devi and Tulsi take Krishna by the hand and lead him up the street here from Kusum Sarovar to Radhakund and to the Lita Kunj to meet Radharani. So it's called faking out, or whatever, some more proper word, deluding or fooling or whatever. So they try to outwit each other. Oh, where's your Chandravali? you know, anyway, it's very nice when you see, when you read the Govinda Lilamrita especially, and other, especially there, and enter deep into the exchanges and dialogues, there's so much catty, you know, there's so between the girls, because we're also going to be in that bhav and that form and that mood and that prakriti bhav and everything that goes with being a female. And a lot of the things that go to be with being a female human being also go to be a female gopi. The cattiness and the jealousy and the anger and the envy, all those beautiful feelings that we really don't like so much, but they have us deeply in their grip in this world. When we go there, we'll also have those things in us, envy and greed and jealousy and anger. greed. And we'll have lust, anger, and greed, and envy. It says in Gita, these are the three doorways to hell. Trividam narakasyam kamaesha kruesha rajagunasamudava. With lust, anger, and greed, if we don't control these things and become cheto darpana marjanam, purify our consciousness and become transparent. First, we have to become transparent. Clean the slate. Erase your hard drive, or erase our hard drives. Then reboot. So we have to throw out all the material, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, matsarya. Then we have to upload the special Gopi Bhav program, which has a special variety of transcendental greed and transcendental lust. It's not called kam. Kam means desire and lust. It's called aprakrita. Aprakrita kam means transcendental. And so this is something to look forward to. So don't be too hard on yourself if you're envious and greedy and angry, because you can dovetail that. But by the time you get to the level of prema and enter the lila, all of that, what you thought was you, will be gone, and a new you will rise. A new you will rise within you by the mercy of the ingress of the Bhava Bhakti, by the blessings of the Parishads and your Parivar. You'll become full of Prem Bhav. There's always, as you know, there's always the good form of one thing and the bad form. A knife is good if it's used to cut out cancer. A knife is bad if it's used to kill someone. So there's the truth is in the middle. There's a good, and so the same thing can be used. So that what we consider negative or destructive or unproductive qualities for the cause of self-realization or spiritual progress become essential attributes of the psyche and hearts of the transcendental personalities in the spiritual world, which we call Nitya Parishads. So we wrote just a couple of points we can share, and also want to read something. So when Krishna touches the plants, they feel delight and joy. The word is used, pritim, pritim karasparshena. Pritim, of course, most everyone's familiar with this word, or even the name. Many Indian ladies are called Priti. And Priti is a very beautiful name, and Jiva Goswami's Priti Sandarbha is about the prayojan, the sadhya. And Bhakti Sandarbha is describing the nuances and the different stages and explanations of the practices of Bhakti Bhajan and sadhana. And as one progresses, sadhana will take us to the level of Priti, to Bhava, or at least prepare the ground for the mercy, for that contact. That's all. What from our side we have to, what we can, if we think it's our side and our free will, but we're endeavoring to elevate ourselves through the stages of nishta, anartha nivritti, nishta ruchi asakti, and then it's like, after that it's just keep pulling beads, keep chanting rounds, keep going like this. Going like this and like this. This is going like this, this is going like this, and this is closed. And one fine day, then Bhava comes inside. When Bhava has certain effects, one becomes overwhelmed by three intense desires, prapti, Krishna, abhilash, Krishna prapti, abhilash, Krishna prapti, lochan, darsh, see Krishna, to be with Krishna, to serve Krishna. These come in the heart in such a strong, profound way that everything else is eliminated from your consciousness, from your desire, from your avishta. So this is some of the symptoms of Bhava. And there are nine other ones that everyone knows. Intense ruchi for the name, and love for living in a holy place like Vrindavan, as the Goswami showed by their own example, and there's no other place for them. And so love means, if you love someone so much, you never want to leave them, and you can't leave them, and you never will leave them. So if you love your wife or husband, you will only leave them when time comes and breaks it. So Vrindavan is such a place that if the love goes deep in our heart, by hell or high water, we will find a means to stay permanently in Vrindavan. And the primary means is intense desire, intense prayer, And then the rest of the magic is done by Radha and Krishna themselves personally. And your own Prabhupada, you are ours, everyone's. Our own Prabhupada may create a lot of waves in our sankalpa, a lot of obstacles, mental obstacles, physical obstacles. So many things will rise to test the depth and strength of our sankalpa to have permanent brajvas. Having gone through a few different aspects of being here and attaining citizenship long ago, we know that it's only possible by the mercy of Radha and Krishna and the blessings of Sri Guru, like everything, like anything else. So if you focus your love light or you focus your abhishta on this attainment, which is so conducive and so helpful, and bhakti anukulya for attaining prema and attachment to Krishna, namely what I'm speaking about, matura vasasthali, or it says there are 9 sentences of Baba, having love, we're talking about the word priti, it says priti braja stali vasa or something, having great love to live in Vrindavan. So the gopis, as I said, if when one is touched by their beloved, they blossom, they feel their heart swells. So the gopis know that, because when Krishna touches them, then their heart swells. And even in the Krishna Bhavanamrita, when Radha and Krishna, they play a joke on the gopis, Krishna says, Radharani, I'm going to dress you up just like me. I told you this past time, the other day. I extracted that from Krishna Bhavanamrita and put it in my English book, Radha Krishna Pastimes at Radhakund, which is a collection. It's called Sangraha. Sangraha means collection. And there we have the two Krishnas in a Kunj, is the name of the story. And it's a long story. It's basically, Krishna, whom the gopis think is Radharani, is Krishna imitating Radharani's voice. And they're saying, well, which one is Radharani? And then no one's speaking. And then finally, somehow, Lalita decides, I don't know, the vibration from this one is a little strange. This must be Krishna. But this vibration from this gopi, I mean, this Krishna, who's Radharani disguised as Krishna, is very nice. It feels very good. This must be Radharani. So Krishna was even able to pretend or adopt the vibration and the aura, the vibration, the mahabhav to some extent of Radharani. So Lalita fell for it. And so then she said, Radharani, I know you're disguised as Krishna, but you're Radharani, right? How did this happen to you? So then Krishna starts speaking as Radharani, and exactly her voice. I mean, it's Krishna. It's not Radharani. Radharani's sitting there, and they missed the real Radharani, and they guessed that Krishna was Radharani disguised as Krishna. So then Radharani said, Lalita, I'm too shy to tell you in public what happened, but if you go with me privately, you take me to your kunja, I will tell you secretly what happened. So then, you can imagine what's going on here. The great train robbery. the great Houdini. The great magic show here. So then Lita escorts Radharani to her kunj, Lita kunj, and they sit there. Lita says, well, what happened? So then Krishna starts to speak in Radharani's voice and then puts her arm around Lita. So Lita feels his arm. So it's Pritim Karasparshena Madhava. Pritim Karasparshena Madhava. She feels that Kara means hand, like, you know, like Kartal. Kartal, you know, Tala means beat and Kara means hand. Right? That's Kartal. And you throw some, you know, brass cymbals there, or you throw some two spoons, or you throw two talis and go ta 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 ta. But the basic source of the tala, the rhythm, is you, is your hands. Kara tala. So Karasparsha Madhav. So Madhav, why are the gopis using the name Madhav? They're not saying, have you seen, oh Malati, oh Malika, have you, Jutika, Juti, have you seen Damodar, have you seen Nanda Nandan, have you seen Shamsundar, they're saying Madhava. Madhava, as we heard, this is a review, a quick one. Yesterday, the acharyas are saying Madhava indicates spring, and in spring, these flowers blossom. And also, Madhava means Krishna. So there's many points that gopis are saying. The verse is saying, have you seen Madhav? Because when Madhav comes and the flowers see Madhav or they associate with Madhav, which means spring, then they blossom. So the intimation by using the word Madhav is, we want to see Krishna also. So then Pritim Kara Sparsha Madhava, that Madhava will touch the flower of our hearts, and the flower of our hearts will blossom fully in the association of our separated lover. So there's many things in one word, and I'm just repeating what we discussed yesterday. So this is all I just said here, that what I made a point, because as I was mentioning yesterday, that Prabhupada is the only commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, or many of the Shastras, including Gita, who comments on the verse, the content, the lila, the philosophy, the exchanges between Arjuna and Krishna. But then he takes this ancient teachings on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, or this beautiful Nitya Lila of Rasa Lila, for example, which is of Krishna, for Krishna, and by Krishna. It's for Krishna, of Krishna, by Krishna and his associates. And he brings it out and makes it relevant and tangible and useful for we conditioned souls 5,000 years later, 10,000 years later, and so many thousand years later in his Bhaktivinoda, what we call tikas or purports. He regularly does this. And we all benefited from that, and we've appreciated that, because it's a way when, for example, if you read the Krishna book, and the Krishna book, Prabhupada translates practically all the verses of the five chapters of the Rasa Lila. You can find, I've extracted the Prabhupada's translations, which I printed out, and he's given commentaries on them all. But he has many, many 20 pages of commentary of an introduction to the Rasa Lila, how this is not teenage boys, this is not hippies in Central Park, this is not hippies in Hippie Park, you know, San Francisco. This is God, and this is his Shakti. And many, many statements that you won't find so much in the commentaries and the discussions of Rasa Lila by Shukamuni. He does discuss points. No one, don't try to imitate this, or you'll die, just like if you try to imitate Shiva and drink an ocean of poison. He does warn the readers about this is not for everyone, but that's a few verses at the end. But Prabhupada, throughout the Rasa Lila, he's reminding us that, hey, you know, you don't get lost here. You know, wait, pull back. It's not Romeo and Juliet. It's not a love story. It's not a Saturday night blockbuster movie or cinema. This is the transcendental Nitya Lila of Krishna. And this bhakti, param bhakti labhyate, you can attain the topmost bhakti by shadanvita, with intense faith and belief and surrender to the content of the Bhagavat and acceptance of this as something transcendental, not to be imitated or duplicated, then you'll get great benefit. So we appreciate that. And even other outside acharyas and Vrindavan, because in 1996 we gave many sets of Hindi, full sets of Hindi Bhagavatams and CCs to many different libraries and Goswamis around the Braj, as Seva to Prabhupada. And then they commented later, they said, I very much appreciate this Swami Bhaktivedanta. He couches the intimate lila of the Rasa Lila, which is the essence and smiling face of Krishna, the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, is the five chapters of the Rasa Lila. And these Goswamis and Acharyas from Sri Sampradaya and Gaudiya Sampradaya and also Vallabha Sampradaya, they later, upon seeing that and reading that, because maybe they skimmed over everything, what does he say here? And then they appreciate that, oh, he's really, really understands a modern man. Because Shukamuni was writing 5,000 years ago, and he couldn't imagine what people would be doing 5,000 years later in the park with this girl and that boy and this, that, and everyone knows what's going on. And we're part of it, or have been. So Shukamuni doesn't say much. This is dangerous stuff. Watch out, don't, because you're not Shiva. But Prabhupada. So therefore, This is a vishesh gun, a special quality of Prabhupada's. I'm being a kripa patra of Prabhupada, which means a recipient of his mercy. And I always like to read his commentaries and share them, and taking a lead as his student, and then throw in a few points of my own. So I just mentioned, which is quite obvious, because the verse is saying, Pritim karasparshena madhava. So that priti means happiness, delight. So it's very obvious where we're going to go with this. But that when the gopis are saying, oh, flowering plants, you're blossoming, and you're looking so beautiful. It's not your time to blossom. So what we see the effect. We see blossoming mogra flowers now, and you find we have mogra all over the garden. We're getting five. We're getting five. And a couple of months ago, we were getting 5,000. We're getting like huge. Yeah, there's 40 plants. So there's still like, you know, little something, you know, it's like the last drop of the water coming out of the faucet or something. So it's this time. So there are thousands of mogras all over the place. They're saying, what's going on here? What has caused this? It's not spring. It's not a, you know, what do you call it? Global heating or something like that. So then they said, it must be, no one can become so happy and so beautiful and so fragrant unless they're touched by Krishna. So that, here we go. So when any conditioned soul has any contact with the hand of Krishna, what I'm saying is when any conditioned soul has any contact with the hand, because we're talking about kara sparshena, kara sparsha means touch of the hand. When any conditioned soul has any contact with the hand of Krishna's mercy coming through Sri Nam, Sri Guru, Sri Bhagavat, and Dham, he or she experiences pritim, which means joy, love, and satisfaction. Do you agree? To whatever degree, you know, we when we're happy, it's because of Krishna. When we're unhappy, it's because of us. Because if we just spend all the time with Krishna, name and leelas and good devotees and prakrama, all these things, we feel happy, and that's you're the witness, you're the testifier, the sakshi. But then when the Prabhupada says, wait a minute, hey, look, there's some Prabhupada standing at your door. Prabhupada means your karma from last life. It's time to suffer. It's time to get sick. And you open the door. Oh, I was having such a good time, and I was being Krishna conscious and getting up early. And now the flu is coming in the front door. And I'm going to lie on my back for 5 days. And okay, bye-bye, Mangala Arati. Bye-bye, everything. And then you lie in your bed like this, you know. So this is not happy. It's not satisfaction and love. This is reality. If we were liberated souls, I wouldn't be seeking. I wouldn't be speaking. You wouldn't be listening. We'd be busy in our inner Atma Ramata, our inner bliss. So this is one point. And then I wanted to glorify Prabodhananda Saraswati, who... he wrote his own version of the Rasa-lila, and it parallels because the basis of all the shastras we're having in our hand, every single book we have of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, whether it's tattva or whether it's lila, all the basis of all of it is the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, when you become very familiar with the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Krishna lila, then you read in Vrindavan, you read Govinda Lila Amrita, you see, oh, this idea is from the Bhagavatam, and this idea is from the Bhagavatam. You see all the different verses of Govinda Lilamrita, because they're talking about Ban Bihar, and there's also wandering through the forest. So in the beginning, towards the end of chapter 29, it becomes a happy ending after the bad start. And then Krishna disappeared again, it became unhappy. But they're wandering the forest, and they're touching the plants, and this and that. Then you read the Govinda Lilamrita, and Ratri Lila, they're wandering the forest, and Krishna's touching the plants. So he gets, that's why they're so strong and powerful, because everything is drawing its strength from the Bhagavatam. What are the Sandarbhas? There's thousands and thousands of verses. There's Anuchhed, like Anuchhed 238. Anuchhed means like section, main section. It deals with guru, spiritual master, and different things. So then there's subsections. There's 700 subsections in Anuchhed. So if you just say Anuchet 238, then if you really want to be specific, if you're going to quote something, you have to say what section. Because each section may be a verse from a Purana, or it may be a statement of Jiva himself, or a quotation from Rupa. It's pretty vast. But the basis of the whole Sandarvas is Srimad Bhagavatam. That's for the tattva. And as I already mentioned, for the Leela, the basis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Astakali Leela is also here. It says, oh, in the afternoon, the coward boys are bringing the cows back. That's Aparan Leela, 3:36 to 6 o'clock. Oh, then they're cooking. You know, you can see, you can find sections where this is Astakali Leela in the Bhagavad, in the description of Vrindavan Leela. So this book is called Ascharya Rasa Prabandha, which is translated here as Astonishing Account of the Rasa Dance Intrigue. So there's just some nice verses, and I like the sound of it, so I hope you do too. I can't really sing it. They're all actual different ragas, but those learned, great souls. Because it also is a little reminder of where, what territory and what verses we covered. Bo ashwata plaksha vata va kim dristo hari ananta vava sahinash chorito rideya nyapta prema hasita drik shara sangata. He's taking the same verse from the Bhagavatam where the gopis are saying, oh ashwa tree, which is Vishnu, oh plaksha tree, which is Brahma, oh nyagroda tree, which is Banyan, which is Shiva. Have you seen Krishna? So he's saying the same thing. And then his translation is this. He says, the gopis call out, Bo, Ashwat, Plaksha, and Vat, Banyan, have any of you seen Sri Hari pass by here, crouching down as he was sneaking away from us? So that's not in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam, they simply ask. But here, in the Sanskrit, it says, Hari Anatta Bhava. That he's sneaking away. He's not just walking away, because he walks away, he's kind of tall, and they can see some distance. So he's actually crouching down means bending down, and he's slinking away in the shadows of the trees, like you're going in some, you want to, some, there's some windows, and you don't want, you're crawling under the windows so no one sees you, whatever. So he sees this in his meditation on the Rasa Leela. This is the rag. This is the praying dristi, the vision of the loving devotees. He's meditating in the Leela of the Bhagavatam. He says, oh, Krishna, you're crouching down. Oh, Shukamuni just says you disappeared. But you didn't just, it's not like some Star Trek movie where you dematerialize in 1 second. Psh! Some vapor gun, boom. Psh. So it just says in the box, it just says he disappeared, poof, like some jadu or some, what do they call this, magic show or like that, magician. But no, he said, no, he's human Leela. He didn't show all that Aishwarya at this point. That's some kind of mystic city to appear, disappear, materialize or dematerialize. But he simply, he snuck away. like the gopis, oh, Krishna, Krishna, and he just kind of ducked down really fast behind some tree, and then, hey, where'd he go? Because if he's standing, there's the trees up here, and then there's space, and then there's shrubs coming up, there's shrubs and small plants, tulsi, whatever, coming up from the bhumika brush, one or two, what do you say, like a half a meter, three quarters of a meter, I say. So Krishna was crouching down to be as high as the bushes. So he's moving with the bushes and the shrubs. And so they're looking, they see this tree. Where is he? Because they're expecting to see some vertical human being, vertical walking. Oh, there's a tree. Oh, there's Krishna. They're not thinking to look this way. Look, is he crawling on the ground like a rabbit or like a fox? More like a fox, since he's acting like one. fox, little crafty type. So that's why I read these things. I like these extra twists. Kind of catches your brain and makes the Leela go. It's I have to look up the name for that. There's a name in logic, a term in logic, which I heard on a tape by Sri Dr. Satyanarayan Das Babaji Maharaj, where he said, it's called, we say pounding, you know, driving the nail home or pounding the peg in the ground. Because in the villages, I told this the other day, they have some stick that they use every day, kind of a big peg, and has a notch in it. It's like this, and they cut a notch. You know, a notch is like a groove like this. So they, when they take, even like, sometimes they, you see it, I don't know if you ever noticed, you maybe wonder, I don't know if you ever wondered, but sometimes around the buffalo or the cow, there's a piece of wood, a wooden piece of wood stick hanging there. And there's two purposes. One is it's a bad cow. It's a bad bull or a bad cow. And by carrying that, he doesn't like she, or I guess she, probably mostly she. The females, they don't like it, so they go slow. They don't jump around crazy. But actually what it is, it's functional. Because when they get out with the cat, they'll take it off the neck and they'll pound it into the ground and really hard. And then that notch, which is kind of a cut, you know, it's the wood's like round and they cut a groove like this called a notch. Then they tie the rope in that notch so they can't pull it out. So that is a name in philosophy where you repeat the point. Like how many lectures did Prabhupada give on Dehino Shvinyata Dehi? You look up, he gave like 27 lectures from Bhagavad Gita. You know, as the Atma is passing in this body from boyhood to youth to old age, similarly the soul passes into another body at death, and the self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. Namuyati, yet surya, whatever it is, namuyati means bewildered. He's not bewildered. So he drove the point home, and still we don't know it. So in the same way, Jiva Goswami says this is important in tattva and philosophy to drive the point home. So similarly, we're pounding the leelas deeper in our brain by hearing them, the same leelas told by different sources. You can read the Ras Leela in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's 172 verses. You can read the Ras Leela in the Vishnu Purana, it's 172 verses. You can read the Ras Leela in the Hari Vamsa Purana, it's 46 verses. And there's more. And you can read the Ras Leela in Gopal Champu, and it's, you know, 200 verses. And there's one more that I know. And you can read the Ras Leela in Nanda Vrindavan Champu. 542 verses. Number one, Ananda. So, he, like Holy Leela. Holy is briefly mentioned in one verse or two in the 10th canto during the Shankachuta Leela. During Shankachuta Leela, when this Badmash, what we call dandy, is, you know, really, real oiled down hair, you know, real slick, and, you know, nice earrings and nice silk turban, mustache. He's what we call a dandy. He came pulling up in his chariot. He was just cruising around Braj Mandal, maybe from Delhi or Agra or somewhere. Then he heard a lot of ankle bells and smelled a lot of perfume. Man, smells like ladies and sounds like ladies' ankle bells. Let me, you know, he pulled over his Ferrari and jumped out. He went, and it's full moon night. Said, wow, what a romantic night. It's Holy Purnima, what we call Guru Purnima. And Guru Purnima. So he's wandering, and then and he saw Radharani and all the gopis, and somehow he didn't see Krishna and Balaram. And in the Bhagavad description, it says that they had come there. Krishna brought his gopis, and Radharani brought her gopis. I mean, Krishna brought his gopis, and Balaram brought his gopis, and together they met. And first they came there to play holy at night under the full moon, which is, I mean, Krishna is really cool. Because generally we think holy is daytime and Barsana Parikrama and holo holy, and there's a lot of fun and all this and that. So, but nighttime? 12 o'clock at night under the full moon? You can't even see how you smashed up the other guys. So then he comes in the middle of it, and you know the rest is history. But so, that's a great one. So I don't know how we got there, but so anyway, he's crouching down and sneaking away from us. He has verily stolen our hearts. Chorito Mridya Yata, with his smiles full of prema, and by piercing us with the arrows of his loving glances. So he's saying, it's going a little deeper here. He's saying that Chorito Ridaya Prema Hasita Driksara. Driksara, like we have so many devotees, they have the Kam Gayatri. Pushpa Sara. This is a bana, bana Sara. Bana is an arrow. So this Sara is also arrow. Drik Sara. Pushpa Bana. So bana means arrow and flower arrows. And this is a Drik Sara Sangata. So he's piercing our hearts with what? His love. And how is he expressing his love? Through his hasita. Means his smiling. There's smita hasita, ati hasita. There's four or five times of smiling in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Smita is no teeth showing, and hasita is teeth showing. So when Krishna smiles at the gopis, his eyes are full of love, and he's showing his teeth. Because as the heart blossoms more, then the mouth opens more. So you may initially see someone you like or maybe even attracted to, and then if your attraction heightens, then you can't keep your lips closed anymore because your heart forces your lips open. It all kind of happens unconsciously. It's not that we plot it out in some kind of Sankhya system. But this is, it's actually very good to do self-study, because you can understand when you study Rasa Tattva and how Vyavacharis and Sancharis, how they as they increase and the heart expands in different ways or different feelings, then there's anubhavas. Bhava means the feeling, and what anu means what follows it. Then the anubhavas, and there's physical expressions, and there's minor physical expressions of your heart's excitement or fear or attachment. And then there's major ones. So the minor ones are Sanchari bhavs, and the major ones are sattvic bhavs. Because sattva means satta. Satta doesn't mean sattva gun. Satta means existence. My very satta, S-A-T-T-A, satta. Sattva means made of the satta. So our heart affects our existence. What is our existence? Our physical form, and which includes our mind and our body and our eyes and senses. So trembling and perspiring and crying and hair standing on end and getting pale in color and fainting, and all these things. And then even those are different degrees of more intense physical transformations. And dipta, sudipta, jwalita, dipta, sudipta. All this is in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Ever increasing, expanding. Only two symptoms of sattvic bhav, then three symptoms, then four, then all eight symptoms fully expressed to the maximum degree. That's called sudipta. Deep, like we have Deepavali. Deep means light, lamp. Row of ghee lamps, avali. So sudipta means completely, brilliantly shining and fully expansive. Highly technical, highly detailed, but very interesting. Because many of these, if you actually have had somewhat of, let's say, somewhat of an active emotional life with your partner or beloved or beloveds, then we have all, as culture developed human beings, experienced a lot of the gamut of the emotions and bhavas and rasas that are described in the Rasa Tattva of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Nilamani. Of course, different quality and quantity. When you're studying, it's not something extraneous to our own experience, although it seems highly technical. If you actually say, wait a minute, and you bring it closer to yourself and try to measure, and, oh, I had something like this. And it's because I've been trying to study this from different angles to get more understanding. And actually, this is the keynote, because the basic philosophy and teachings of the Rasa Tattva itself, they come from the teachings of Bharat Muni. Bharat Muni wrote a famous shastra called Natya Shastra. And Natya Shastra is the art of drama or dance. So there, in drama or dance, as you know, when you see movies or cinema, the actor and actress, they have to convey different emotions and feelings. So all those rasas and feelings that are in material drama, Rupa Goswami has taken all of those and use those to describe Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Ujjwala Nilamani, to describe the transcendental rasas and exchanges of Radha and Krishna. So that means that there's a parallel. There's some there's a parallel. Of course, it's quite different in quality and quantity, the emotions and the sun. We have, in other words, human. You'll see in drama, and live dramas or in movies, if you know the science of drama, you will see that these are Sanchari Bhavas, these are Sattvic Bhavas. You know, someone's crying and they're trembling. These are Sattvic Bhavas, but it's just mundane. It's just mundane heroes and heroines. It's not Radha and Krishna. And so this is how when one approaches and tries to understand Rasa Tattva, the transcendental emotions and exchanges of Radha and Krishna and the gopis, that's why Rupa Goswami, he saw this is a perfect template. This is a perfect outline. I have to fill it in with leelas of Radha and Krishna and expand it even more. So when you see Ujjala Neelamani, the types of 360 different types of nayakas, means heroine, he expands Bharat Muni's original rasa tattva, theory of ras, in so many proportions and so many degrees, because Krishna is Bhagavan and Radharani is his nitya shakti. So then you understand this is really transcendental. There's so many levels. Madhya and Antika and Madhya and Mridu and three different degrees, and Uttam and Madhyam and regular. It's really unbelievable. It's so challenging to try to wrap your intelligence around it. It's like one of those tether balls, these huge things. But eventually, if you're persistent, and the Krishna kind of reveals one by one, even what I'm saying, it was only due to my own revelation. So in the next verse, Prabhupada Saraswati, he's paralleling the verses of the Bhagavatam. The gopis were addressing the Ashwat tree, Ashwat, Plaksha, Banyan, because they represent, as I said, Ashwat is Vishnu, Plaksha is Brahma, and then they went to the flowers. So then, see these, it's very nice to compare Shuka Muni's explanation in the Bhagavatam, like text 7, his text 7 is 207, his text 8 is Bo-Bosh, Champaka, Keshara, Naga, Priya-Shoka, Bakula, Punaga, Jambu, Kuravaka, Panasa, Rasala, Kramuka, Kutaja, Vakatala-Tamala. He says, it's the same verse as verse 7. Bo-Bo, Champak, flowers, Keshara, flowers, Naga, Priyaka, Ashoka. This particular book, it gives a name in English of all these flowers. This is done by my godbrother, Shri Dasarath Sutta Ji. So in what we say Champak, it says large yellow magnolia, Keshar, white lily, Naga, and long, elongated white lotus. Priyaka, small yellow magnolia, Ashoka, has a red, it's called red flamboyant tree. Anyway, all these different trees. And then he says bird of paradise. There's one tree called Vaka, which means bird of paradise. It sounds like something from Australia or somewhere. And it says Tala means date palm and Tamal. And he gives some Latin name for the Tamal tree. There's a Tamal tree right back there. Tamal Kadamba. I can't pronounce the Latin name. It's miles long. And then the next thing he says, Ahaha Mahanto Yuyam Sadaya Vayam Api Viraha Vyakula Vridya Katayata Manavati Ritya Man Smita Vananasya Hari Paravim Na. Ahaha, you are all great souls, it means the flowers, who show compassion unto others. We are suffering with very agitated hearts due to separation from our beloved Krishna. Please tell us where that Hari has gone. He whose face is always smiling due to removing the conceit of us proud girls. because there's nothing more delectable or attractive to the conquering spirit. The aggressive conquering spirit of a man is so much excited and pleased by the opposing nature of the woman. When she's conceited, what the translation is conceited, but when we hear the word conceited, we have sort of a negative meaning. It actually means she's proud and she's saying, no, I'm not interested, get lost. And of course, that's a bluff. But that's kind of the ways of love. That's what makes it all work. So the gopis are like that, but they really, as Jiva Goswami says, when the gopis are exhibiting man or jealous anger or showing a contrary disinterested mood towards Krishna, like, not today, it's not happening, then he says that externally their mouth is speaking, oh Krishna, go away, don't touch me. But their hearts are speaking, Krishna, don't go, please stay, please embrace me. So this is, so ultimately, because the gopis really don't want to hold on to their pride too long, so when Krishna smiles and flatters them and tells some jokes, at one point or another, the pride goes, they drop their contrary mood, and the loving relationship begins to move and spin. And so then Krishna smiles. The gopis are even saying, smita varanasya, varan, like murli varan. Varan means one who holds the murli to his face. Smita varanasya hare paravimna. That he smiles with satisfaction when he defeats our contrary. I conquered you. You know, the gopis say, all right. And then they give in and they let Krishna embrace them. And then because he wants that and ultimately they want that. And he rather likes it that they give him a hard time, as they say. So then Krishna's smiling, I won. I defeated you. And they just look at him, you know, we'll get you again the next time. But they're remembering that. And that's their relish. We're holding on to our pride. And I remember when he finally flattered me. I know exactly what he said. I know exactly the words he said to make me give up my pride and my contrary mood. And then I remember how he smiled, and you know, and I didn't like it, but anyway, now I'm remembering it. I wish he was here. So I don't care how he looks at me or what he does, but just come here, Krishna. So this is love. Separation increases the joy of meeting, but it doesn't end there. It's not nitya separation. It's only an aspect of making the relish of union and meeting again more and more tasty. So next verse is, Ayi saki madavi malati mali. This is the verse we're on today, verse 8. Ayi saki madavi malati, Ayi saki. They're saying, hey sister, hey saki, you're a saki. Hey saki madavi malati mali, jati juti nilani sefali, ma gopayata gopakulatilakam. Ma gopayata gopakula tilakam. Ma gopayata gopakula tilakam. Kritakara samsparsham kila rasikam. This one's good. Really, really a tongue biter, whatever, tongue roller. Ma gopayata gopakula tilakam. Kritakara samsparsham kila rasikam. That's Prabhupada Saraswati. And that's like really, I know, Harlem Sanskrit pronunciation. But any bus driver can appreciate the beauty of the music and the flow of the Sanskrit. My gopayata gopakula tilakam, kritakara samasparsham kila rasikam. Ayi saki madavi malati mali, jati yuti nilani shefali. Ayi kalyani talasi haricharanam bujadayite, tam guru vakurunam. Kvaste varano jivita bandhu sakala kalanidhi rati rasa sindhu. No jivita bandhu rati rasa sindhu. That's yesterday. Oh, Kalyani Tulsi, the same thing. In the, as I said, all the rasic books are based on the Bhagavatam. So what does the verse say yesterday, verse number 7? They were addressing Tulsi. They said, Kachit Talasi Kalyani. Kalyani means, oh, fortunate one. So then he says, oh, this is nice. So he says, Ayi Kalyani Talasi, Richarnam Bujadayate. So the translation is this, Ayi Kalyani Talasi, oh, most fortunate. Hey Hari Charanam Bujadayate, oh, most auspicious Talasi, beloved of the lotus feet of Hari. Please be merciful to us. Please tell us. Where a jivata bandhu, that's obvious, friend of our lives? Where is the Rati Rasa Sindhu, the ocean of sweet flowing romance? That's nice. And then that's our contribution from Prabhudananda Saraswati Pada Ki Jai. So now we go on to verse number 9. This is chapter 30 of the 10th canto, Krishna Krita Krishna Vesana, which is a Sanskrit title, which means the gopis search for Krishna. And basically, at this juncture in chapter 29, the gopis are finally enjoying with Krishna, Banbihar, wandering through the forest, embracing each other and singing together and singing about the moon. The gopis would sing about the moon. Krishna would sing about the moon. Then the gopis would sing a reply by singing about the moon of Krishna's face. The gopis would say, oh, the moon looks so beautiful. And they say, yes, Krishna Chandra's face is so beautiful. And like it's like love song, the back and forth, partay. And then they were feeling so happy to finally be with Krishna on the full moon night, the rasa dance, the same season right now, 5 days ago, full moon. Maharas dance, very beautiful in the evening, kind of warm in the day. And then nighttime, so refreshing. Last night it was 18 degrees. Very beautiful weather to dance in. On the banks of the Yamuna, you can't imagine. Oh, flowers everywhere. It's fantastic. And so all the udipan, all the excitants and stimulants for rasa are perfectly arranged and presented in Braj Mandal. Because this is the place, this is the Leela Bhumi. Leela Bhumi means the place of fun, the fun place. So if you go to a fun park or what they call like Disney World or whatever, everything in there is for fun. It's some kind of ride or some kind of exhibit. You go on a ride and you go up and down, you go here and there, it's an exhibit to excite you or educate you. So it's fun. It's for children. So Krishna's a little boy. He's only 14. So this whole land of Braj is his fun park. It's Leela Bhumi. Leela Bhumi is play. So he plays. He throws colors, and he swings on a swing, and he jumps in the Yamuna, and he plays leapfrog, and he splashes the gopis, and throws stickers in their hair, or anything. Get some stickers. That's what Mahaprabhu did. And Chaitanya Mangal, he was also very playful because he was in the mood of Krishna when he was young. And then later he went deep into the Radhabhav. But when he was Nimai Pandit and just a young boy, 9, 10, he was very much like Krishna in Vrindavan. Nadia Brahmanis, or Nadia Kanyas, the virgin girls of Nadia, the daughters of Brahmins, they would go to the bank of the Ganga and they would make a deity of Durga, and they would pray, oh, please give us a husband, very beautiful husband, and have all sandesh and bananas and little sweets and burfi and kheer to offer. Then Nimai would come and sit there, oh, this is nice, you know. And he started eating everything. Hey, nonsense. This is all this food is meant to offer to Durga, to Ma Durga, and you're eating it all. And they would chase him and pick up a stick, and he would just make faces and run away and jump in the Ganga. And they would, I tell your father. And he would say, bye. And he'd swim across to Navadvip or the other, whatever, you know, some other side. And then sometimes they say, they would, it was almost like Katyayani. You see a parallel with Bhagavatam, of course. They're doing puja. Then he would sit down and said, listen, you're saying pati dehi, you're praying to Durga. Dehi, give me pati, husband. Oh, Durga, please give me a husband. I am that husband. You're praying for me. We're not praying for you. Even if you were offered to be our husband, we would refuse. So he would sit there and say, I'm the one you're praying for. And he say, no, you're not. The one I'm seeing in my mind is better looking than you. That's pretty hard to do. Gaura Sundar. Gauranga Sundar. So they would joke like this because they're naughty. He's a naughty Brahmin, and they're naughty Brahmanis. You know, teenage girls aren't known to be like, keep quiet. You know, 12-year-old girls, 13-year-old girls, they can be pretty saucy. Yeah. So he's being smart aleck, or you know, like that, and they're giving it to him. So then sometimes they would go, you know, these Bengali girls, they have long black hair and they put 5 kilos of coconut oil, 5 kilos of coconut oil on every day. And their mothers, they sit on a chair and their mothers, you know, grab it and run to the backyard. You know, they hold on to it. It's like 2 meters long. It's really long. So they go in the Ganga. They're very pure and clean. They get clean and then they're oiling and like this, you know, the way they do. And then like Krishna, Mahaprabhu sneaks up. There's some sticker bushes. You know, sticker means little thorns. There's some type of seeds and some bushes. They generate their seeds. Their seeds are in little burr. We call burr, B-O-R-R, little burrs. So a dog runs by and it catches on his fur and he runs 100, you know, 5 kilometers and it falls off and a new plant comes up. It's just Krishna's arrangement for the seeding of the different herbs and whatever. So Mahaprabhu gathered a bunch of these, probably one of his servants, gathered a bunch of these and said, okay, watch this. And he says, so, you don't want to marry me? No. And he throws, it's Lochandas Thakur describes in Chaitanya Mangal. He throws, you can imagine, you know, you ever get something in your hair? So he throws, and they go, and practically their whole, they pulled out half their hair to get the sticker bushes out. He said, Nimai! He's running like, you know, lightning, you know, faster than the fastest. And they're yelling behind him, Nimai! So Nimai is very much like Krishna. So now let's begin verse 9, now that we have received some blessings from the, called Gaur Chandrika. Chandrika means moonbeams. And when the moonbeams of Gauranga's mercy shine on the heart, by being a Gaudiya Vaishnava, that in itself is Gaur Chandrika. When one surrenders to the Gaudiya Tattva Siddhanta, becomes a member of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, like all of us sitting here, we are all recipients of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, the moonlight of his kripa, Gaur Chandrika means you literally just be a Gaudiya Vaishnava, and we worship Gauranga. We worship Gauranga. We may never chant Gauranga all day long. Of course, we all do, but we chant Panchatattva Mantra, maybe different varieties here and there. But we may just read the Bhagavatam all day, or we may just chant Japa all day. And so many things we can do as Navavita Bhakti, limbs of devotion. And you might say, oh, I don't see, you have Govardhan Shila, you don't have Gaur Nitai Devis, I don't see you reading Chaitanya Bhagavat, you're not chanting Nitai Gaur, so you're not a Gaudiya. No, it's not like that. Lord Chaitanya is the greatest Gaudiya, and all day long he's reading the Bhagavatam and hearing the Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath and studying he was studying all the Gitas in the Gambira and hearing the Gitas from Rai Ramananda and Srup Damodar. And when he went to the Tota Gopinath and Jagannath Puri every afternoon around this time, 4 o'clock, 4 or 5, around 4, he would hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit, who was Radharani Shakti, Radharani Sarup, Gadadhar Pandit. And there, what would he speak about? What would Gadadhar speak about? He spoke about Dhruva Charitra. He spoke Dhruva Charitra and Prahlad Charitra. Dhruva Charitra is the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, describing the story of the little boy Balak Dhruv. He was a 5-year-old boy. He was a great king, and he became like a yogi to do tapabalam. Intense austerities and penances to attract the attention of Bhagavan. And of course, you know the story. And then Prahlad Charitra is 7th canto of Bhagavatam, the son of the Rakshash king, Hiranyakashipu, who was terrorizing the universe because of his greed. And so when the Sringadev came and liberated him to protect his devotee Bhakta Prahlad. So it's told, and the Chaitanya Bhagavat, by Vrindavan Das Thakur, that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Tota Gopinath, he heard the story from Gadadhar Pandit. He heard the story of Prahlad Charitra, means the story of Prahlad Maharaj. He heard 100 times. And he heard the story of Dhruva 100 times. So he was hearing Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. It wasn't like, oh, this is boring. I'm God. I'm Mahaprabhu. I'm in Mahabhav. I want to hear the Rasalila. Lord Chaitanya is hearing 100 times the story of Dhruva from the mouth of Gadadhar Pandit in the Tota Gopinath. But then at night, when he's in Rahasya Sangha, Antaranga Bhaktas, when he's with his Antaranga Bhaktas, Surup Damodar Goswami and Rai Ramananda, then he's hearing the Gita Govind. And that's what Swarup Damodar told him. During the Rath Yatra, you're a king. The only way you'll enter the heart and attract, because if you stay in the external level, if you stay in the external Maryada level, you're a king. If you stay on the external Maryada, Maryada means conduct, behavior, tradition, position, varna. If you stay on this level and approach him as a king or approach with your servants, you'll never get anywhere, because he'll think and consider, I am a sannyasi, you are a king, you represent women and money and maya, so I will not meet with you. So that was the block. He could not meet with Lord Chaitanya. So then Swarup Damodar says, listen, give up all your rajvesh, all your royal garments and gold, wear a simple white dhoti like a Bengali yatri, and wash all the oil out of your hair and look like an ordinary person, but memorize the Gopi Geet from the chapter 31 of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. So he did that. During Rath Yatra, the cart stops at a certain place called Mosima Mandir. Mosima means auntie. So the Jagannath has an aunt. It's his aunt, Mosima. So he stops there because he's hungry. And Mosima cooks some good pancakes and things. These kind of puri pancakes. So he stops there. There's a name for them. And he stops and gets some food. And many people make offerings at that time. Then Lord Chaitanya retires to Jagannath Vallabha Gardens or some other garden nearby. And I think it's Jagannath Vallabha. So then Swarup Damodar said, when Lord Chaitanya takes a break during the Rath Yatra and resting, you go in the garden and you just sit at his feet and you start reciting. Chaiti teiti kam janmana jara, like this. So then Lord Chaitanya is in Ardha Baya consciousness. He's like, looks like sleeping. Ardha Baya means, Ardha means half, Ardha Chandra, and Baya means external. He's not internal in his Mahabhav Samadhi, of Radharani Bhav. He's not external as Garanga. He's in between, in his own personal reverie. And then somehow, as he's coming to more conscious external awareness, Jagrata, then he hears a very familiar song that he knows when he's in the form of Krishna, and he's moving beside the gopis. He's moving in the shade of the trees when the gopis are crying out the Gopi Geet. And they don't see him, but he sees them. And they don't hear him, but he hears them. And all those prayers are etched. All the prayers of the Gopi Gita are etched on the copper plate. They're etched on the copper plates of Krishna's heart. So if you etch something or carve something on a copper plate, it never comes out. So Krishna's heart is like a copper plate. No, it's not hard, but it's just an analogy. So it's permanently etched there. So, what a great way to touch the heart of Krishna. Many sadhakas and Vrijvasis, they have told me that if you want to get the mercy of Krishna, then Kartik, every day you recite the Gopi Geet. As a tip. Yeah, anyway, there are many tips, so many things to do. And you will be guided by your own inner self and your maybe even your own guru or teachers. Different strokes for different folks and time and place. But anyway, that was told to me, and we've also done a few times. It's very nice. So he did that, and then he touched Lord Chaitanya's heart. Lord Chaitanya woke up and embraced him because Lord Chaitanya was thinking that, was knowing that he's Krishna and thinking this is some gopi. So he just woke up, oh, this is a gopi singing Gopi Geet, and embraced like Krishna embracing a gopi, because she's singing that Gopi Geet in separation and viraha, because Krishna's left her, so they're singing Krishna. Oh, it actually says, on the commentaries in Gopi Geet, chapter 31 of 10th canto, it says they're not singing Gopi Geet. What are they doing? They're not singing it. What are they doing? They're crying it. That singing is, Yashomati Ananda, that's singing, but crying is something different. Singing maybe from the throat, from your memory, remember the lines, but crying is not from the throat, not from the mind. Crying is only from the heart. So they're simply this song is not coming from their neck, or their vocal cords, or their brain, or their memory, or their singing ability. It's coming from their pierced their hearts, lamenting and crying in separation. So that's why they sing it so slow. We tend to be a little speedy, Western people, kind of rattle these things off pretty fast. But the Indians people, they usually sing it quite slow. And each word goes really slow. You heard sometimes? It's so slow, you're like, because we're so rajasic. let's say that way. But you can understand why, because they're somewhat identifying Bhav Taratmya. They are one. They're Brijvasis. They are one, or identifying one with this mood. So this song is cried out. Text number 9. Gopi search for Krishna. Chuta priyala panasasana kovidhara chambarka bilva bakalam rakadambanipa yanye prarata bhavaka yamana pakula shamsanta krishna padavim raitamanam na. This, of course, is called Tilaka Chandas. Tilak Chandas is, of course, more familiar to us as the tune of Brahma Samhita. And again, this is a long list of different trees they're approaching, which are secondary to the flowers. Ochuta Priyala Panasa Asana Kovidara Jambu Arka. Arka is a plant, and Bilva is a tree, Bakul and Amra. O Kadamba Anipa, type of banyan tree. All of you other plants and trees living by the banks of the Yamuna, who have dedicated your existence to the welfare of others. Because these trees provide flowers, they provide wood, they provide toothpicks, they provide herbs and medicines, and like arka. Arka is a poisonous plant, but it's sacred to Lord Shiva. Makes these little white bell-shaped flowers with little purple thing inside there. And they're milky plant. When you break the leaves, it's milky, you know, like white milk. And those type of plants that are milky are usually poisonous. I mean, champak's the same way. This is champak. You break the leaves and a little white milk comes out. I mean, some trees you can eat the leaves, like neem tree, you can eat the leaves and stems and everything about the neem tree. That's neem tree. But this plant is like, smell, but don't touch. If you eat the leaf, you won't be in good shape. Arka, like datura. Datura is sacred to Lord Shiva, and datura is an intoxicating. The fruit is intoxicating. You go a little crazy and forgetful, or too much. If you're allergic to that particular chemical, you can die. Datura, but for Shiva, it's a favorite thing to offer him, along with arka. Arka grows as a weed all around the place. I think it's maybe between here and Sadhu Ashram. There's some in that open area. There's some arka. I'll just read a few minutes, small purport from verse number 9. In other words, the gopis are asking all these flowers and trees, where's Krishna? Where's he gone? Tell us. And of course, trees don't speak and flowers don't speak and Tulsi doesn't speak. But in the madness of the separation from Krishna, they're hoping, they're actually thinking, yes, this flower will tell me, yeah, where's Krishna gone? You don't know. Why aren't you speaking? You're proud. Oh, you're so puffed up. Go somewhere else. Hey, what about you? So they're mad. It says first it says Vibram. Vibram, Vibram means they're confused, they're bewildered. Then it says they're Pramad. Pramad mutta. Like we say calm, crowed, low, moa, mutta. Mutta means intoxicated. Mutta means crazy, mad. So pramada means prakrishnarena mutta, or mutta becomes pramada. So they're very, very mad. Then the next word he uses, Shukamuni, describe the degrees of insanity, transcendental, of the gopis is unmad, which means pramad and unmad. So mada means mad, so pra means a lot of, and unmad means utam. You know, kanishta madhyam utam means like totally toppers mad. You can imagine someone's filming. I mean, they would be arrested and put in a shrink hospital, you know, the psychiatric hospital. Oh, plants, oh, trees, huh? You know, something's gone wacko with them, you know. So this is, it's amazing. It's the power of love. Love makes you crazy, right? Everyone knows that. So not only do the gopis inquire from various useful trees, like the different trees you mentioned, some of these trees. Now they're asking poisonous weeds. They've asked Tulsi, who is the most auspicious of all flowers. First they asked the most auspicious trees, the Vishnu tree, Brahma tree, and Shiva tree, Ashwat, Plaksha, and Banyan. Then they asked next level of trees. Oh, Champak, oh, you know, very auspicious, good trees. Then they, oh, the trees, we're getting nowhere with the trees. Then they go to the flowers. What's the topmost queen of all the flowers in the kingdom? Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. So then, because there's a verse in Padma Purana that says, Pushpa Sara Tulasi. Krishna Jivani, Krishna Jivani Nandani, Pushpa Sara Tulasi, Vishwapavani, Vishwapujita, Brinda Brindavani. Very nice prayer that Sri Krishna spoke to glorify Tulsi Maharani on her wedding anniversary, because she married Narayan in one of the Puranic stories. This one, Vera Devi, it's a long story. Vera Devi got cursed to become a tree, and then someone, Narayan or something, got cursed to become a rock. So then the tree was married to the rock, and the rock is Shalagram, and the tree is Tulsi. It's called Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha. The marriage of Tulsi, you know, of Tulsi and Narayan, but Narayan is a Shalagram. It's called Tulsi Shalagram Vivaha, and it's every year in Kartik on Purnima, I believe. And it's celebrated by many temples in Vrindavan, traditional temples like Radha Raman. It's on their calendar. It's on ISKCON calendar also. And maybe they do something now with, and Gupta, what do they call it? Gupta Kun, Brinda Kun with those devotees involved over there on that day. I'm a little bit not aware of what's exactly going on, but I think so, I've heard. So they asked all these things. Now they say, oh, Arka, you poisonous plant, and all you useless guys, you know, Bill is not useless, but Bakul, and it's not, but Kadamba, so they're mixing here. So the gopis say, Jiva Goswami says, not only do the gopis inquire from useful and valuable trees and auspicious plants and fragrant flowers like Tulsi, but they're thinking, they're not speaking. And we asked all these trees, which are supposed to be trustworthy and honest, like sages. They become so desperate. The gopis are so desperate. Where is Krishna? They even start asking weeds. And then, though the arka plant is considered inferior and poisonous, the gopis are so desperate and exasperated that they ask this plant because they're so full of longing. And then the arka plant, and the gopis imagine that the poisonous arka plant is replying to them. And Jiva Goswami gets the reply, oh, gopis, what will you gain if we tell you where Krishna is? And then the gopis speak to the arka plant, and they say, you're dedicated to helping others. You have taken birth to help others. And you're living at this holy place. You're living in Vrindavan. You're on the banks of the Yamuna. So you're supposed to speak the truth, because anyone living in the holy place is supposed to be a sadhu. And sadhus are supposed to speak the truth, not Jute Bolo. Jute Bolo means lying. So, and you're okay, you're a lowly arka plant, but there's big devotees in Vrindavan, they speak the truth. And there's little devotees in Vrindavan, they speak the truth. So you're an arka pair, you're arka plant. So you must speak the truth and tell us. And you're very merciful. And they're saying, don't cheat us. Tell us the truth. Then what does the arka plant say in reply? Just go search for him yourself. That nasty arka plant. His words are as poisonous as his milky juice. Fearing this answer, the gopis speak with pain, hoping to generate compassion for their suffering state. Oh, arka, we have lost our consciousness. We're near death. We can't go search by ourselves. So spare no mercy. So tomorrow we'll hear more about Jiva Goswami's commentary and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and the predicament of the gopis searching for Krishna and separation from him at the beginning of the Rasa dance, chapter 30, verse number 9. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana Ki Jai. So now we have Sri Harinam.